This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Now,
Mike Richards, an absolute Canadian broadcasting treasure.
If you go to a high school, I would say at lunch hour, and you start, you want to talk about sport.
A lot of things come up to me when you say that. For one, what are you doing hanging around playgrounds?
How about that?
Toronto and the GTA is a zero. It is the worst football market in North America, bar none. People keep talking about the NFL coming. They're not coming. They're not coming to Toronto.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Yeehaw. Welcome to Hour 2 of the RP Show, everybody. Canada's number one daytime sports talk show. And also Canada's only daytime sports talk show. Jared Dumba's with us. Dumbalicious. Hi, Jared.
How are you?
Our hockey analyst. I think you're quite proud of that moniker, aren't you? 10-year hockey pro.
I love it.
We're so happy to have you. Yeah, you should be. The Prairie Mobile text line is open. If you missed Hour 1, for instance, if you're listening to the podcast now, you're going to want to go back and listen to Hour 1 because Jim Wagner covers it all in this text on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, Rod and Jared cranking more bombs than the Yankees against the Jays. Love it. Thanks, guys. And that goes to a lot of what my topics were in the Quick Six show topics. And I'm going to re-up those in a minute. I will just tell you, coming up shortly, Gene Principe from the Edmonton Bubble. And Greg Zahn, Blue Jays great and World Series champion. Y'all know Zahnie. But those comments relate to our Quick Six show topic. So let's go, Jordan. Let's re-up those here as we set sail on hour two. Number one, I signed the petition directed at the government of Saskatchewan to return to hockey. Hashtag let them play. I'm not going to go any further on that other than to say go to my Twitter feed. The link's right on there. If you want to see hockey played at high levels, all levels actually, sign the petition. Point two, NFL week two openers tonight. Hashtag TNF, Thursday Night Football, Battle of Ohio, Bengals-Browns in Cleveland, 6:20 p.m. kickoff. Point three, analytics say 0-2 NFL teams only make the playoffs 7.2% of the time. Both the Bengals and Browns are 0-1. A lot of pressure tonight for early. John Lynch would call this an ESBG. Early season, big game. Point four, Stanley Cup Final tonight, Game 6. Tampa Bay versus the Islanders. Tampa's up 3-2, as you all know. Point five, lots of reaction to our CFL ambassador talk. Who should it be? I'll not get into that with Jared. We'll do it later when Dupes returns. And point six, our CFL Sim Week 15 betting lines we'll get to because Friday night, 7 p.m. Mountain, we're calling Stampeders Riders, Canada's Game of the Week on this very Facebook Live channel. We got Gene? Let's do it. Okay, Gene Principe, we have our hockey insider, 10-year pro, Jared Dumba with us. Matt's cousin, former Saskatoon Blade. Yeah. Yes, sir. And what? Austin Ice Bat, Oklahoma City Blazer. Where else you play? Indianapolis.
Indianapolis Ice. Flint, yeah. Michigan.
Okay, so there you go. You're welcome. There's the introductions. Gino, how are things in Edmonton?
Things are good. So is this a case of your show today? It's Dumba and Dumber?
You're not the first.
Yeah. Trust me, doing this stuff, everybody does it. It's just some do it quietly, some do it a little more outwardly. Yeah, listen, Jared, nice to see you. Your cousin's done some great stuff. You guys have a great family. Met your uncle and during the Minnesota Wild father's trip. And yeah, Matt, I tell you what, I always liked Matt as a person and as a player, and now getting to know him as someone who really is, I don't want to say taking on the world, but helping out the world. So great to be here with you and discussing that and other stuff, including the hockey playoffs, which feels like one long, long tournament that's closing in on an end.
Oh, yeah. Groundhog's Day, I'm sure. But here's the thing, Gene. As I was pounding away in the gym this morning watching Sportsnet Connected, I can't imagine everybody in the world didn't see your report on the Dallas Stars. But for those that didn't, can you talk about your report and how the Stars are keeping stimulated and bringing their families into this? Because I'm sitting there saying we only see these guys 3 hours every 2 days. There's a lot of other hours that they're not filling. Yeah, so can you talk about that?
Yeah, Rod, I think all of us have spent time, or those of us that have spent time on the road, we love what we do just like these players do, all of the teams that have been in the bubble. But, you know, sometimes you find yourself kind of loitering in the lobby or, you know, not much to do. And when you're not at a game or if you're at a conference or whatever the reason is, you're on the road. Well, you know, Joe Pavelski, I thought, said it best. He goes, when you have 2 days between games, he goes, you start looking at yourself funny because it's a long time. Because of the amount of time they've been here. A lot of the teams rolled in that July 25th, 26th weekend and are happy to still be here. But it is a long time and it is limited. They've been lucky enough to get out on some golf outings and get out to Commonwealth Stadium. But it's tough. You're away from your family. And I know for me, when people would say to me, what's the best and worst part of your job? And oftentimes it was the same answer, the travel. You get to go to some great places and you get to cover some great events with what I do and Rod, you've done. But you're also away from your family and you're missing birthdays and possible first steps and dinners and Christmas concerts and so many things. And, you know, as they are pushing 2 months of being here, so what they've done is they, you know, it's not surprising that families in this day and age are sending in videos and, but they're sharing them with everyone. And I thought that was a real neat approach. So it's not Blake Como getting a video from his three kids and his wife. And, you know, Blake looks at it in his room and probably sheds a tear or gets sentimental and also has a laugh. Instead, they're doing it in group gatherings or doing it at team meetings. So people can see Blake Como missing his family and what they're missing, not having their dad or husband around or Corey Perry or Joe Pavelski. You know, so I thought that was a real neat way to do it. Maybe other teams are doing it or had done it, but we weren't aware of it. But the Stars kind of have made it known that they're sharing this experience together. And I thought that was a great approach. We all know that they're going to miss their loved ones, but watching others sort of miss their loved ones, I think it really gives you a sense of the sacrifice that everybody's made for this to happen.
It's a great organization. I've seen it from the inside for a long time. I'll be very happy if they win the Stanley Cup, and it's a very underrated fan base too. But Gino, I've become very bullish on the mental side of the game, and I've heard now from players that it was tough, especially being away from their families, like a mental grind. And some guys did check out. I'm obviously not going to name names, but do you know if teams that have got this far have brought in some sort of mental coach? The military does it, you know, for their people. Do you know anything about that side of it? Has that had a factor in some team's success here?
Yeah, you know, I know specifically some teams have been asked about it, and it was more not in the beginning because it was kind of early and you know, some teams are in the bubble for a week, and that's you know, half of a road trip sometimes during National Hockey League season. But along the way, some teams have been asked about it. And from what I gathered, I think they've got people available to them, but because of the limit of the 52 people, and, you know, I think if maybe teams could go back, Rod and Jared, I think maybe they'd go back and would have taken one of those spots with someone specific who would be there for them to just talk to. But I think, you know, again, in 2020, some things we're not used to. And I don't, you know, you don't know how long. I think if you knew, hey, I'm going to be there 2.5 months, then you do that. But you don't know if it's 2.5 weeks or a week or 6 weeks. So in hindsight, they might have done it differently. But I think they're leaning on each other. And I mean, Jim Neal the other day said, listen, I think part of our success has been the fact that we've really attached to each other and grown so close and bonded during this time of being in the bubble. And it's hurt us because you don't want to see people miss their families, but it almost, I got the sense from Jim that it's helped them hockey wise, you know, just always playing cards and hanging out and keeping each other fresh. And I think that's why, you know, normally playing every second day or possibly having back-to-back in a Stanley Cup final, absolutely unheard of because of the travel. And even if you were staying in the same city, you don't do that. But I think everyone wants to, it's been done right, very well done by the NHL, but I think now they want to get it done. And if that means a back-to-back and getting out of here 3 days earlier, especially if Tampa had scored one more goal and we were down to our final two, this tournament, Stanley Cup playoffs, might have been wrapped up you know, last couple of days, September. Now it might push itself into the first couple of days of October. But, you know, and I was a bit surprised when Eric Bonus came out a few weeks ago and discussed the mental challenges of it. People kind of went, oh, you're millionaires, and it's first-class hotels, and it's first-class food. Yeah, it is. It is. But you're still away. And so I think those that have handled that side of it the best are also the teams that find themselves, you know, still in the running for the cup.
Gene, Jared Dumba here. Just want to say, first off, thank you very much for the kind words of the family. And yeah, Matt's doing some very big things. We're all very proud of him. Who knows, maybe see him in an Oiler jersey one day would be nice. But for me, anyway. But I wanted to ask you.
Is this considered tampering if I put my thumbs up?
Well, I wanted to ask you personally. I obviously follow the league really close, and the Oilers even closer. You know, there's lots of talk about the goaltending and, you know, Koskinen, if he's the guy or not. You know, I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I also wanted to get your thoughts on the upcoming draft of what maybe you think the Oilers might be going after. I've got, you know, some ideas looking through the roster, but I wanted to get your personal opinion on maybe the goaltending and where they're going at the draft.
Yeah, well, goaltending wise, I mean, it's funny because from the outset of the season, I think people fell in love with the tandem of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. Yeah. And it's amazing. You could fall out of love in less than a week. You know, in the stretch of those four games, you know, I look back to game three and the Oilers were up 2-1 and they allow a tying goal. Okay, we're going to go to overtime. That's the way it goes during the playoffs. And then they allow another goal. And it seemed like they couldn't quite recover in game four. And when things don't go right, whether you're a company and your profits, you know, have dropped, or you're the Edmonton Oilers or any hockey team or sports team and you're expected to go farther and things don't turn out, you don't kind of reach projections and people start to look at why. And the goaltending was picked on. You know, I think they were only a couple saves away from not being, not even that they were an issue, but that people thought they were an issue. And they just, you know, they just couldn't quite get it right. And I don't refer to just the goaltending here. I mean, I'm just referring to the entire team. They weren't far off of winning the series. And, you know, some people might say, oh, you cover the Oilers, so you're going to say this. But I really felt like they could have snuck through that series. I think they might still be playing or close to it. I really did feel that way. They had the right parts. They had a kind of a defense that was put together with no huge fantastic parts, but a lot of group parts that could have worked well. And so it was really disappointing for them. And I know Oiler fans were disappointed. They found themselves in a good spot through the regular season. Who knows how it would have worked out. I mean, they wouldn't have had the qualifying round if they'd won one more game. They would have been in that round robin tournament instead of, ironically, Dallas. So who knows? Maybe Dallas would have been the team that might not have got through that first sort of qualifying round that teams went through. As for the draft, it's you know, listen, I've been around a lot of these first overall picks and third overall pick in Leon or seventh overall pick in Darnell Nurse. I think defense is fine. They've got you know, Evan Bouchard coming and Philip Broberg, and you saw Ethan Bear, you know, play tremendously, and Caleb Jones. If you draft a goalie, which I think they're intent on doing, they've got some in the minors that aren't ready yet, and you know it's a 4-year project. So I think that's where they would be headed up front. I believe they like what they've got. The goalie situation is, I think, where they really want to spend potentially their first-round pick, and we've talked about this Russian kid who looks like would be a good fit. When you talk about the middle of the first round, who knows? I mean, what will happen up to that? I know the Oilers would like to sort of replenish their second-round picks, which they lost some, particularly with the Andreas Athanasiou trade with Detroit. And coming off of COVID and a different draft system, it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out virtually. But I think goalie would be their number one area to build on. Having said that, who knows if the goalie they want is available midway through that opening round. But Jared, it's an important draft. And I think with this flat salary cap headed our way for quite a while, you might not be able to maybe overspend as much as you could have for a player or players that normally you go, hey, yeah, we're going to give them a little extra term or a little extra money, knowing that you've got it and it's available to you. But you might not be able to do that anymore, considering what, you know, the entire sports world and the entire world is going through.
Just a quick question on that, and I'm sorry if I missed it, but Stuart Skinner is still in the plans, right? Are they thinking that he's could be a number one?
Yeah, I love Stuart Skinner. First of all, you got 10 family members. I mean, a family of 10, that in itself shows you this guy's hungry, because he literally probably had to have his, you know, elbows up at the dinner table. It's a fantastic story. Absolutely. And Shane Starrett is another one. Shane was injured much of this year after a fantastic year last year. But, you know, these kids, even if you're you know, excluding a Marc-Andre Fleury or a Carey Price, some of these kids, they take some time. And I think especially nowadays, they're not in any rush to rush goaltenders. But for sure, Stuart Skinner's not out of the mix whatsoever. I think the Oilers would like to get a kind of a hybrid AHL/NHL goalie for this season, available to come up if necessary, but also available to help the kids down in the farm. But I'd love to see Stuart Skinner make it up here. He did last year, sat on the bench for a couple of games, didn't get a chance to play, but it's a great story. I always love to see local kids have a chance to play for their local team. You know, whether it's, you know, the Regina Pats or the Saskatoon Blades, or, you know, pick a team, pick a sport, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the Edmonton football team. I think it's great. It always adds a sense of community pride when you see that happen.
Pats fans sitting here thinking in their mind, echoing, it's echoing in mine, Skinner. You remember the playoff series a couple years ago. One question. I'll allow one question from a viewer, because there's been a million. Adam Stewart, who's a farmer, by the way, in the sleet and rain, has paused his harvest. I saw his Twitter this morning, so he's inside watching the show. Do you expect, Gene, a lot of moves, trades, after the Stanley Cup playoffs due to the Seattle Kraken expansion draft in a year? And if so, which position?
Yeah, I that's an interesting one. I think, gosh darn it, the Vegas Golden Knights have changed the expansion draft for everyone. And Seattle's going to be hard-pressed to find that kind of, you know, all those trades that George McPhee made. Hey, okay, I'll leave this guy alone. I think including Matt Dubba with the Minnesota Wild at that time, so that, okay, but we're going to get this. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. If I'm Ron Francis and the Kraken, I'm thinking goalie out, starting with that, just like Vegas did with Marc-Andre Fleury. And whatever's happening now is happening, but they don't get to that 2018 final. I just think it's goalie out. That's the way I would be approaching it. So it's very positional for me, if I'm them, to work from the back to the front and see how you can build the kind of success that Vegas did. But geez, talk about pressure. I mean, trying to find your way through like Vegas has done. I mean, a conference final, a Stanley Cup final, and, you know, like 3 years old. It's amazing that they've done that, and I wish Seattle success, because you want to see them come in and have a certain amount of success, maybe not too much. You know, so the original 16s and the teams that have been around all this time go, wait a minute, how'd you do that? But you don't want to see them flounder either.
A definite tough act to follow. Gene, won't keep any longer. I don't want to burst your bubble, my friend. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll chat soon.
Well done, guys. Take care, Jared. Take care, Ron.
Have a good one.
All right, Gene Principe joining us from his deck, where it looks beautiful today in the City of Champions. Well, take a break, and by the way, on the way Greg's on, we've got a sports update coming up, too. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV. By the way, Gene, if you're still watching, tell your friends. Available across Alberta on TELUS Optic TV on the Game Channel, and we'll be right back. Game Plus and Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for a sports update. The Tampa Bay Lightning have another shot to advance to the Stanley Cup Final tonight. The Bolts lead the Islanders 3-2 heading into Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final. 6 p.m. on the CBC. The Toronto Blue Jays hope to avoid a sweep tonight in the Bronx. The New York Yankees have crushed the Blue Jays in the first two games of the series. New York now is 1.5 games up of Toronto for second place in the American League East and a guaranteed playoff spot. Greg Zahn joining us in moments to talk about that. And other Major League Baseball things. They've teed off at the U.S. Open. The second major of the men's golf season is underway at Winged Foot in New York State. An all-Canadian threesome of Corey Connors, Mackenzie Hughes, and Adam Hadwin is playing a morning round. Taylor Pendrith is the other Canadian in the field. He starts this afternoon. And week two of the NFL season kicks off tonight with a battle of Ohio. The Cleveland Browns host the Cincinnati Bengals in a battle of winless teams. The Browns are coming off a 38-6 loss in Baltimore. The Bengals lost 16-13 to the LA Chargers last week. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store at the corner of Rochdale and Pasco and Regina. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G Pro protein bars, the best you'll ever have, with seven amazing flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. These guys are going to tell me when Greg Zahn's ready. We've got him scheduled for the bottom of the hour. I haven't even asked you, Jared, your thoughts on game six of the East Conference final tonight. Who wins? And does it come down to whether Brayden Point plays or not for Tampa Bay?
It could. I know Tampa's got a lot better chance, obviously, if he's in the lineup. I think it's going to be a tight one again, but I think Tampa's going to close it out tonight. I thought they were going to win last game, but it was a tight one. Our boy Ebbs and double OT keeps it going. I'd love to see the Islanders win, but something tells me Tampa's going to close it out tonight. I know Dallas is hoping that the Islanders win tonight and then anybody wins in the final, because they're going to be a little bit rested up for the cup final.
Heard this one in the gym. By the way, breaking news. Chris Bird writes in. He says in Toronto, he says, Leafs announced Manny Malhotra as assistant coach. So breaking news there. I think that's newsworthy because they were talking about Gabby Boudreau.
Oh, yeah.
But they hired Manny Malhotra instead.
Yeah.
And where did I see my notification here? I get a million, as do you probably. Is it Bob Armstrong? Bill, I think Bob Armstrong, the Arizona Coyotes, have hired as their next general manager. So some news there. Now we'll come back on the hockey, because you're telling me, guys, Zonny's ready? All right, 16-year major leaguer and World Series champion Greg Zahn joins us, our good and longtime friend, joins us from, I'm only assuming, Southern Ontario. How you doing, Zahny?
I'm doing all right. Still trying to figure out how to do this screen thing, but I think you guys can see me.
Yeah, you're such a newbie in television and that kind of thing. Yeah, I'm sure you'll get it figured out.
On cell phone, yes.
Oh, I gotcha. Zahny, if the Blue Jays miss the playoffs, will they look back at this week in New York and say this is the reason why, do you think?
They might. I mean, do we really count this year as postseason baseball? I mean, come on. I think they should be proud of what they've done, but you know, this is not a real baseball season. This is not a real schedule. But yeah, I mean, when you put it in the context of what it was, 60 games, yeah, they can look back and think, you know, this is it. But one bad week in a real year isn't the determining factor for a season. The cream will rise to the top, and usually guys end up exactly where they deserve to be.
Have they gone the way that you thought? I think at the start of the season when we had you on, you predicted a tie for fourth place in the American League East. Could still happen. You can't deny that they haven't been exciting. Has this season gone the way you thought? A little better? Worse? What?
A little better. I think that when you compare them to teams like the New York Yankees and what they've been able to do against them, I think they should hang their, keep their head high. They should hold their head high. I think they've done probably more than what we expected them to do. Then again, it could also be a combination of the other teams doing less than what we expected them to do. They got some exciting young players. Still Luke Wormon Jr., Bo Bichette, really, really excited about that. You know, I love to see a Cinderella story catcher come out of nowhere and do something exciting. So, happy about that. Yeah. Anything you can take positive from a year like this year, you got to put that in your back pocket and grow on it. You know, it's going into next year. Hopefully this COVID thing will be a thing of the past and we'll get back to regular life and a regular baseball season. And, anything that they can take positive from this year, definitely, has to help them going forward in the future.
You know what? Speaking of that, I'm going to get to some actual baseball questions in a moment, but I know how connected you are in baseball, obviously. I just said 16 years in the majors and your years in the media since. How did they go from those outbreaks at the start of the year, the Marlins, the Phillies, to now we don't hear any? Like, are they not reporting it? Have they locked things down? What are the guys saying?
Well, I think that everybody has figured out that this is real, and that, you know, a night out at a strip joint with your buddies is not a very team thing to do anymore. You know, you're risking people's livelihoods, their lives. And, you know, not going to tell you that those kind of activities don't build team unity, but not this year. I mean, you have to put yourself aside and learn how to be a team player and understand, you know what, sometimes being sequestered in a hotel room for not only your health, but the health and safety of your teammates, their families, and everybody extended in the baseball family, is the smart play. I mean, you can't be selfish in situations like this. And I think that a lot of guys, based on the early kind of mini outbreaks that they had, were like, oh, hey, wait, this is a real thing. We need to be careful. And, you know, you look at Plesac and some of the other young guys doing irresponsible things, selfish things. I think they've learned from their mistakes. And I think as an industry, everybody's learned that, hey, if we want to protect this game and have any semblance of a season, we all need to row the boat in the same direction and make certain sacrifices for the good of the game.
It is amazing how they have pulled it all together, given the fight between the players and owners, right? We didn't even think there was going to be a season at all to where they are now, and it looks very smooth, and I commend them on that. Now, Dodgers have the longest active playoff streak in the majors right now. I think it's top 10 all time. Could this be the year, do you think, for L.A.?
Well, selfishly, being from L.A., I hope so. You know, my travel team are called the Dodgers for a reason. So, yeah, it could be. But then again, my good old buddy Clayton Kershaw is going to need to step up at some point and have that breakthrough performance in the postseason where he piles that team on his back and he goes and he gets it done. You know, it's always funny. I always point at John Lackey as a prime example. John Lackey, to me, you know, he's a guy probably win you 12 to 15 ball games during the season. Tough competitor. Just as soon throw at his own mother if he had an opportunity to win a ball game. But those are the kind of guys that step up in big situations. And, you know, he always seemed to find a way to win a ball game. You know, other guys, you know, seem to find a way to lose a ball game. And sometimes it comes down to one pitch, one moment. And, you know, the guys that are the champions, those are the ones that rise to the top. And I'm certainly hoping that Clayton Kershaw and that group is going to break free and finally get to the top.
You know, by the way, I've had the good fortune of spending some time in Miami over the last few years. Obviously love it. You guys were such an anomaly in, what was it, 97? Like, it was 1 year of 25 bad years with the Marlins. I mean, aside from spending like crazy, what was special about that team?
You know what? We had the third best record in baseball that year. A lot of people forget that. We were a really good ball club, and we smashed the Braves all year long. I think we went 12-4 against them in the regular season and then beat them in six in the LCS. We underachieved, in my opinion, we underachieved all year long. And it wasn't until we got Darren Dalton and Craig Counsell that we were able to kind of put it all together. Craig gave us an anchor in the middle of the infield to go along with Edgar Renteria. Luis Castillo, who ended up being a really good player, he really wasn't ready yet. Counsell made all the routine plays. He was a good situational hitter. But the glue, the guy that brought us all together, was Darren Dalton. First day in the uniform, I remember it like it was yesterday. We were at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati. And it's a really interesting place because you actually had to go underground for quite a ways from the clubhouse to the field. And you go downstairs, underground, basically underwater. And go upstairs to get to the field. And I remember Cincinnati had whacked us around pretty good all year. We were not good against them for some reason. And I remember first day in the uniform, we lose to Cincinnati. It's a day game. And I remember Dalton grabbing us all at the bottom of the staircase from the dugout going into the tunnel. And you could see it. You could see the moisture in the air. It was like ice cold mist. It was eerie. And the silence at that moment. And then he began to speak. And I remember him saying, you know what? I can't believe I waived my no trade clause to come and play with you pussies, because we love playing you in Philly. You were way more talented than us, but we knew if we just stayed on you, you would quit and be what you are, a bunch of pussies, and we would end up winning. And I remember the look in some of the other star players' eyes after that, like, tirade. And we're talking first day in the uniform, right? And it was that moment that every star player that Huizenga had gone out and bought, including the guys that were there, the Al Leiters, the Kevin Browns, etc., that's when those guys began to check their egos, and we started playing as a group. We started playing in harmony. We started to support one another and cheer for one another and pat each other on the back. And then there, of course, there's the whole, post-game celebration song, Men in Black by Will Smith. Everything just came together all in that one moment. And that's what I remember most about that group. We were underachieving all year, hands down the most talented group. In fact, we played crappy in the World Series and still won because we caught a break. But that was what I remember most about that year.
Darren Dalton, of course, best known for being married to Lynn Austin, the original Hooters girl, as you also know. But those 72 Dolphins are still heralded in Miami, Zonny. They talk about them every day. Where do the 97 Marlins fit into Miami sports lore?
Kind of like, the first or one of a couple. You know, the 72 Dolphins are obviously special because of the record. Before the Marlins came to town, the Dolphins were all that was there. And, other than, Florida, Miami football, whatever. I mean, it's a football place, really. It was a spring training home for a lot of clubs and a football state. And I think, when they won a second one, people were pretty happy. But the problem and the reason why there's such a huge difference between the 97 Marlins and the 72 Dolphins, we never got a chance to defend our title. They started selling that team off before we even went to spring training. Wayne Huizenga was not a fan of guaranteed contracts, and I think he failed to realize that if you're the owner of a World Series champion, you reap the benefits the year after. We had trouble putting 20,000 butts in the seats for our regular season games, and then all of a sudden all the bandwagoners jumped on in the playoffs. We win it. We have 70,000 in the stand for game 7, but they pulled the rug out from underneath the fans' feet before it even happened. Then they go 5 years later, win it again, and do exactly the same thing. So they've never really had a chance to fall in love with the club. They've had a couple good teams that have won it, but never had a chance to really rally behind them in the subsequent years. And I think that's the major difference. The Dolphins have been a mainstay. They've never gone away.
Right. Look, I'll let you go. Craig Monroe writes in, need more of Greg Zahn from Tom Geiger. This is why we love Zahn. Straight up. Zahn-y, we're going to be seeing your beautiful face on a screen soon. What's up career-wise broadcasting? Are you interested in getting back in it? Or I know you're running the camps and stuff with kids. What's next for you?
Well, right now, I just took over two teams in Oakville, Ontario. They've hired me to take over a couple clubs. I got a 17U and a 14U club. I'm working on building a baseball and softball tournament complex, like 100 acres of baseball and softball fields and training facilities. Been a project of mine for a couple of years, starting to get exciting, starting to develop some partnerships that I think are going to be lasting and meaningful, and put Ontario on the map for baseball in North America. That's what I'm doing right now. As far as going back to the broadcasting situation, I don't know. Clearly I wasn't a corporate guy. So, you look at the fact that, the high paid guys, the guys like Grapes and me are now gone. Maybe our ship has sailed. Maybe the time for guys like me and Grapes on television is long gone. Not to say that I wouldn't entertain it, but if it was, that'd be under my on my terms, not anybody else's. I've had enough of that. I like working for myself.
Well, you could say they're gone, or as I like to say, the pendulum swung enough this way. It's got to start coming back, right? And that's a topic we'll have another time. But Zonnie, thanks for this. My best to the family as always. Always good seeing you, my friend.
Thanks, Roddy. Good to see you too, bub.
All right, the great Greg Zahn, just an all-world guy, an absolute treasure. When we come back, I promised a big announcement from Woodbine and Dark Horse, and it affects us. I'm going to do that when we come back. And a little more on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and then Dupes will join us for overtime. So hang on. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right. Back on the air. All right. All right. I was just telling Jared one of my favorite Greg Zahn stories. Tom Geiger says RP Show format fits Greg and Rod. World needs more reality talk and less politically correct. I guess we could assemble a pretty cool army of guys. Could you imagine a network of Grapes and Zahn? I'd host it.
Oh, that would be great. I wonder what would come up there.
Well, just real talk.
You have to,
and that's the thing. Zahnie, I'd hate to think that his time's gone. He's not that old.
No.
Ed Grapes is 86, and he acts like he's 26 or 16 in terms of energy.
Yeah. I like
he's
what
not
you,
done.
I like what you said about the pendulum has to come back.
Yeah.
I think it's going to come pounding back at some point. I don't think it's just going to start swinging back. I think it's going to come back full force. That's just the way humans are, all or nothing.
I know.
A lot of people.
What if you do any reading on these things, of which, believe it or not, I do? These are generational things. It takes like 25 years for a sway back and forth in terms of a mindset,
yep,
movements, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And I'm a little like Zahnie. I mean, a lot of the corporate BS that goes along with doing a sports talk show, I don't like. But the deal is still this. Show up and talk for 2 hours and go home. We'll handle everything else. That's Darren and Paul, and you've seen how it works because you've been, yep, around here enough. It's, yep, the perfect deal for me.
Oh, it's great.
Zahnie should have that ability. Grape should have that ability if they want it. I mean, yep, Zahnie doesn't seem like he's missing it.
Oh, well, he can, right, always move to Regina.
Well, no, he wants to run baseball and give back.
Yeah.
You think if you were a big money guy and you were going to invest in some fields and a baseball academy, who's the first guy you'd hire?
Probably Zahn.
Right. So, and again, he's running his own business.
Yeah.
So here it is. I don't want you people to wait any longer. Here it is from my friend, Todd Pinckney, who's texting me. Congratulations. I should be putting this up on the monitor. Congratulations to our Win with Dark Horse $10,000 winner, Todd Pinckney. Be like Todd. Download the Play Dark Horse app in the App Store or at playdarkhorse.com and get in on the fun today. The former U of R Rams kicker, Todd Pinckney, he's a longtime friend of mine, has won $10,000 from Woodbine and Dark Horse for playing, downloading the app and playing.
That's a nice little payday.
That's not a bad chunk of change right there. So I'm gonna have to go retweet that and everything. That's exciting. It's very exciting stuff.
I gotta get into this.
Yeah, you're a little behind, bro.
Where do you get time for this stuff?
I know where you are on that. Maybe when you're sitting on the couch watching hockey for 10 hours a day, you could just surf the Dark Horse app.
That's not what happens, but as I'm listening to hockey while I'm walking around.
Okay, fair enough. Walking around the lake?
Oh, no, just working. That's my new...
Do you think you're invincible?
Apparently when I'm at the lake, I think I'm invincible.
So Stanley Cup playoffs. Last one for you before I bring in DuPont for overtime. Heard this one at the gym yesterday. It's where I get all my scoops and show ideas. I love it. Evolution Fitness, 4 locations in Regina. Wonderful. Somebody said to me, this is the Stanley Cup final right now. Islanders, Tampa. They'll roll over Dallas. That's nothing. This is the series right now. This is to decide the best team in the NHL. Tampa Bay Islanders. How do you feel about that?
I don't agree with that. I think Tampa's better. The Islanders are a great team, very well coached, solid goaltending. They've got a lot. They're a big, heavy, fast team, which a lot of people don't really weren't looking at before the playoffs. And the big, heavy, fast teams are you know, St. Louis won last year. When you look at LA winning, that's how they did it. A lot of the guys are big, heavy, fast teams. But I started thinking of something else.
No, you're just saying the heavy game and
With the Islanders, yeah. So the Islanders, that's a lot of people didn't realize that they're a big, fast, heavy team. I don't think they're quite ready yet. I think that they probably need to add a solid first line centerman, but who knows? They're close, but I wouldn't say that. They're going to be in the final for sure. They could still win. I think Tampa's better, and I think Dallas and Vegas might have both beat them in a seven game series. Sorry.
You know what? While we're at it, did you see Dallas? Like, listen, I'm not going along with that Stanley Cup East Conference talk. I'm not. Dallas made short work of the Vegas Golden Knights. That was unbelievable. Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody.
If you're Vegas, what are you looking at yourself right now and saying?
Well, I asked people this a couple days ago. I said, everybody since Vegas came in, the biggest success story. If you ask people, they're the most successful franchise ever. All they've ever done is won. So I said to somebody before they lost that last game, I said, what if they lose this series and then they never get beyond this series in the next 10 years? What if they don't get back to the conference final in the next 5-10 years? And they just kind of wait around that middle area, and then they have to go through a full rebuild at some point. Are we still calling them a huge success
Everything
that they did? Yeah, well, that's my honest. It's just an honest question. I'm not seeing either way. I think it's a success that they get to the finals, but you know, everybody thinks that they're just going to win it and they're going to be back year after year. That's not the way hockey works. And now they've got some things. Now they got some hard decisions to make. You know, are they going to with trades? And the good thing is they got a lot. You know, they got some draft picks, some guys coming up, and some more guys this year they'll have, but
it'll
be interesting to see what they do.
I'm hearing so much right now of this Vegas, oh, they bent the rules for you, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's a lot of hate out there against the Golden Knights. And I just think the people that that's coming from, it's particularly, sorry to say, American fans that I believe don't know the game as well. Not you, Joel Ezito, but some Rudy Poos that don't know. If you don't know George McPhee, and if you don't know Kelly McCrimmon, and if you don't know all of those scouts they've assembled, Jim McKenzie, Von Karpen, Bobby Lowe's, Bruno Kempesi, like, they're all really close friends of ours.
Yeah.
It's not by luck. What did I say earlier in the season, the show? There's no such thing as luck.
They know what they're going on.
You're smart, you work hard, yeah, and do the right things. You'll be amazed at how lucky you get.
Here's the other thing. Everybody complaining about how easy it was for them to assemble a good team. You tell me some area of, you know, of business. If I buy a McDonald's and I give however much it costs for the franchise, they don't come in and say, okay, well, you know what? You can sell the Big Mac, but you don't get the quarter pounder. You can't put the McChicken on the menu. Not yet. Not for a couple of years. You get the full meal deal. So every, you know, you want them to ice a good team, a competitive team. I think I like the way that the league went about that. I don't get the complaining about they were given this good team just because they gave a bunch of money. Well, they were given a franchise.
Well, and that's the thing, by the way, and I'd be, once Seattle has their draft, I'll be very interested to just make a prediction on whether they're even going to make the playoffs in the first year, let alone go to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting to see what's available to them, how they go about it. And one more, Joe Lazito in New York says, you're the best, Rod. So is Jimmy McKenzie. Pride of Estevan. Joe's a hockey guy in the States that knows the game, similar to there's people in Canada that know football. But it's just not Canada's number one sport. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Joe's like that in America.
Yep.
I'm going to let you go. What are you pointing at?
I just want to answer that question.
You answer.
Matt Barzal isn't a first line center. I don't think he's a first line center that's winning cups right now. I think I don't know if he's big enough. Yeah, he's a first line. I guess he's a first line center. I for some reason I've never considered him that star first line center that everybody says he is. I think he's a great player. I picture more of a kind of a bigger, more defensive forward. Anyways, just wanted to touch on that quick. I don't think they're winning with Barzal. They could prove me wrong this year. They got the opportunity. Anyways, thanks, brother.
Glad to allow you the opportunity to get that off your chest. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you very much.
That's our RP show hockey analyst, Jared Demba. Dupes in here for overtime next. I'm going to say it again. Big day. Todd Pinckney, longtime viewer of the RP show, winning $10,000 from Dark Horse and Woodbine Entertainment for downloading and playing the Dark Horse app. We'll be back in a moment with OT. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Stuff just got real around here.
Oh, yeah.
Dupes is back, by the way, in his Edmonton Oilers top.
Thank you. Thank you.
What happened with you and Jared on the way out?
He's like, you know, what's going on? Are you okay? Everything good? I'm like, yeah, everything's great. Everything's great. You know, I'm a squirrel, right? My head's always all over the place.
You're not that bad.
And I had my hands, and he thought I was going in for a hug, and I was going to get my headphones, and I didn't. So I came back and I gave him a little hug from behind.
Awkward.
Yeah.
It's overtime. Your favorite segment of the program.
And then we washed our hands.
We were dropping bombs today, by the way. You were in there doing business.
Yeah.
We're going to have to put up our poll question here for Rockstar of the Day. I think it's going to be Greg Zahn. It was awesome. He had some really good stories. Were you seeing any of that?
No.
Or were you on the phone? You were doing stuff?
I miss Gene and Greg, and I want to go back and watch them.
Hour two was hot.
Yeah, I knew it would be.
But hour one was pretty good, too, as we were on Game Plus TV for that, and we were talking about return to play, hockey, the lawsuit against the Canadian Hockey League, and every hockey league from the kid from Lloydminster. Kobe Moore suing all pro leagues, basically, because they were colluding against him and his chance to play. How do you think that went over with Jared?
Yeah.
He took what I said yesterday and
lit gas on it and torched it, like took it to another level.
Basically said, what's next? You show up for a job interview, this Generation Zetters, and you don't get the job, so you sue the employer? Do you know what I mean?
I know, and the one that gets me, and I don't know, again, I like to stay out of this legal stuff because it just makes me more mad than it is useful for me to go in and try and pick it apart. But, you know, if the argument is, well, kids our age over in Sweden and in Europe can make money for what we're doing, why can't we? Just the way it is. Go play over there, then.
It's the way.
Go play over there.
Yeah, why didn't you go to Europe?
Right? Well, if you know, the girl next door can have a pink bedroom, why can't I? Because we don't have any pink paint. We don't paint the bedroom. Go live over there. Like, it's how we do things here. Either sign up for it or not. It's not an essential service.
By the way, Connor Anderson writes, and he says, hello from school. Hello, Connor.
Hello.
Be sure to join us for our Sim Games game of the week, Friday night, 7 p.m. Mountain. Calgary, 10-3 against 9-3 Saskatchewan. We'll be broadcasting it on this very Facebook Live channel. Connor, I'm so darn excited, obviously, about what we've got going on here with the Rod Peterson Show. You got Pink's winning $10,000 from Dark Horse and Woodbine, one of our biggest supporters.
Yeah.
And I know, because I've worked in sports my whole life, and I've sat in these marketing meetings, and it's like, we can't get that young demographic, particularly, sorry to say, but young men. It's not sexist of teams to want to go after those guys. They're hard and elusive to get.
Yeah.
And we've got them. It's exciting to me.
It's very exciting.
We've seeped into your minds, kids, and we're not letting go. And the best part is they love us.
Oh, yeah.
We found them.
We found them, and we connect with them, and life is great. And we have a great relationship, and it's awesome. And how cool is it, you know, in terms of a sample size, in terms of, you know, a little bit of research, or in terms of just a great marketing experiment that, you know, we can bring on a partner, we can promote it, promote their product to our audience, and genuinely like the product and want to use the product, like Dark Horse that we do, and then one of our listeners and viewers plays on it and then wins the contest that they're putting out all across North America, I might add. And one of our listeners, you know, is the one who wins. That's really satisfying for me as a business owner. Right?
And me too, though, because we're all doing it together.
Yes.
We're growing together. Woodbine, yourself, me, all our crew. Anyways, and I also just was showing Jared how to use the Dark Horse app.
Oh.
And it dawned on me. Actually, I just realized I won $50 on my Belichick bet. I didn't think I got my bet in time. Remember, I told you I was driving through a dead spot on the highway of cell service right around Chamberlain, Aylesbury? I got my bet in. I won $50.
Hey, hey.
It's pretty exciting. How about that?
How about that? That's really exciting.
How about that? I won on Dark Horse. Oh, Alan, the Asian sensation, intern Alan, the bona fide stud, writes in and he says, the RP show is equaled to the recipe of success. Alan said it about you. You spoke it into being, this show. And before we go off the air, because I'm going to have to tweet this, our CFL Week 15 CFL Sim betting odds. What?
You know, what's the old book? I'll think of it later, but Alan's going to be the guy when we're gone, we just send off to tell our story. And he'll spread the word from land to land of how this all happened.
Not the prophet. We'll have to think about it.
Yeah.
The Barker. Connor wants to know, what time is the sim tomorrow? 7 p.m. Mountain, Friday night. Tailgate at the Armories before the game.
Yep.
You're better at setting sim betting lines than me. Are you ready?
Yep.
Edmonton Football Club, 6-6 at Montreal, 3-9.
It's a lot closer than it should be. Edmonton's
road game for Edmonton.
What do you say, slipping off the cracker?
Cheese is slipping off the cracker.
In Edmonton? Yeah.
Yeah, they've lost four in a row.
I know. 1.5 Edmonton. But Montreal's only won 3 games.
They got mollywopped
in Calgary.
Ottawa last week.
In Ottawa.
2.5?
2.5
Edmonton's favorite?
Yeah.
Canada's game of the week. Calgary, 10-3 at 9-3 Saskatchewan. That's like a pick'em. That's like a 0.5.
Who's home?
Sask.
There you go. 0.5.
I'm with you. Ottawa at Toronto. Battle of Ontario. 5-8 Red Blacks. 9-3 Argos, who, by the way, are coming off an upset in BC of the BC Lions. I'll say it again. 5-8 Ottawa at 9-3 Argos. Argos obviously favored.
Yeah.
5.5?
Let's go. Yeah, 5.5. That'd get people to bet Ottawa.
Okay.
We're trying to get the balance of the bet.
And Hamilton, 3-9 at Winnipeg, 5-7. Grey Cup rematch.
Winnipeg's coming off the win.
Yep.
It's in Winnipeg, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Winnipeg by 3.5.
Gotcha. I know they're getting fired up in Calgary. Dave Dickinson, Jeff the Stamps fan says, Dave Dickinson versus the other Dickinson. Not hard to see whose trophy case is bigger. Well, there will be a virtual trophy handed out at the end of the CFL Sim season. It's the Rod Peterson Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Tell all your friends. It's Riders Stamps Friday night. What else you got to do? 7 p.m. on this Facebook Live channel. Colin in Ottawa says, Alan will write an ESPN, these guys have all the fun, like, book on you guys. Is Alan up to it?
I don't know.
That might be his thesis.
That might be his thesis.
The making of this show.
Holy smokes.
Making miracles happen.
That's cool.
Okay, thanks, Dupes.
Thank you.
And we'll see you all tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain. We've got, on a Flame Tech Football Friday, John Frenzy. John Chick's going to join us to give his thoughts on coronavirus. Believe me, he's going to let it fly. Not coronavirus, but his thoughts. Tory Gurley with Tory's Tips, NFL Fantasy Week 2. And the great Willie Jefferson, the reigning most outstanding defensive player of the Canadian Football League, Willie J, will be with us as well. We'll see you then. 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live and Game Plus TV.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.